Hi, this is Heaton Shaw.
And this is Sully Efty.
And today on the Startup Chat, we're going to talk about what I've learned through 1,000 minutes of customer development interviews with founders who are raising money. I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life. And hopefully, while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit. We got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
Yeah. We want you to do your best.
Yes. So Heaton is currently serving, or he did. I think you close the first batch of interviews?
We closed the first batch. We're already on to the next thing.
There you go. So he did a first batch of interviewing founders about their fundraising issues and problems, right?
Yep.
And you also did a survey on this.
The survey is now coming up, and it's not even a survey yet.
Okay.
So I've got a link. So let me share the link, because everyone should go to the link.
Let's do that.
It's bit.ly, so bit.ly/funding early access.
Funding early access, one word.
Yeah. And, okay. And so it's very similar to what we did when we started the podcast, where we put out a basically opt-in link, like a type form survey, and then we started sending people our episodes and got feedback. Right. So what my business partner and I have done is we did these interviews and we had just two tweets that led to about 50 different conversations. Mm. This is where I got the 1,000 minutes.
Yeah.
Because it's 50 times 20 minutes each, which is how long this podcast is.
I thought that just makes for a great blog post title. That's how you
put it. No, it's true. It's been about 50.
Yeah.
And they're 20 minutes each. So that's like 1,000 minutes. What's that? Like 12, 13. 14, 15, like 15 hours or something like that.
I don't know.
About 1,000 minutes is just such a better. Yeah, it sounds better, right? So we did that. And now our next step is we think we can help people without talking to them by providing them with different things every week or every other day that's around fundraising.
Yeah.
Right? So we wanted to get an early access list of people together.
Yeah.
And the intention here is provide resources and tools. And some of it might be paid, some of it might be free. Or some of it will be free for sure. And so that's the intent. And the big thing is we just took an approach that we would take if we were starting something, anything, which is go learn about it first, even though you think you know a lot about it.
So that was the thing I wanted to talk a little bit about, but this is going to be the focus of the episode.
Yeah.
But I love, and I got excited when we talked about it in the previous episode, I love that you guys did, and you particularly did customer development about a topic that you know a lot about already,
right?
So, when I mentioned this to you before we started recording, you were like, well, we did the same thing with the podcast. I'm like, yeah, but we knew jack shit, nothing about podcasting. We're like, do we want to do a podcast? What is a podcast?
Correct.
I don't know. What do people do there? And so we were very curious to explore and do some customer development and have an early access list and ask people what they want and how they do things. But fundraising and helping founders with their fundraising issues, I get a bunch of emails every week about this and try to be useful and helpful. You get a ton of, you've helped a ton of people.
We're now at, between my business partner and I now, we're at 50 to 100 pitches a week
that we see.
Decks, pitches, whatever, maybe more.
So, and you've been around, you've raised money, you didn't raise money, you helped a ton of people, you've invested, you've done all the angles of this.
Yeah.
So at that level of experience and involvement to be like, oh, I should do some interviews and learn what people go through. I love that. It seems it displays a certain, both a certain discipline to process.
Yeah.
It displays a certain humbleness in terms of like your own opinion about yourself. And it displays a never-ending kind of curiosity to which you come to things, which I think is so important because I think that a lot of people mistake customer development, exploring things and learning things about areas where they're debating if they should start a business or not, if it's something they don't know anything about. But if you're an expert, what's the point of doing this?
Yeah.
So I want to just highlight that you're doing this. Doesn't matter what it is about.
Yeah.
Right? If you wanted to create one product for one single customer, that customer is your wife or your child, you'd do some customer development.
That's right.
First,
yeah, exactly.
Right? I think I know what this person wants. I'll go ahead and do things. So I love that. But that then leads me to the next thing, which is the subject of the episode, which is, what the fuck did you learn?
Yeah.
Right? What are things you learned that you didn't already know?
Yeah.
And it's funny. On the one hand, fundraising and raising capital as a founder, as a startup, there is an insane amount of content already out there about this.
Yeah, there is.
Just insane. And at the same time, it's heartbreaking to me how low the general knowledge base is of most founders that approach me about the fundraising problem. And it's not necessarily because they've never read an article about this, but they still show up to this process with a level of ignorance and a level of
naivety,
yeah, that is shocking to my system, right? And I remember being that person myself.
Me too,
right? And all I want to do is shake that out of their system when
That's
I
right.
interact with them
yeah.
to get them to like really like straighten up about this.
You know
and
that
really
you know that it's my first time line.
Oh yeah,
heard
yeah,
that
yeah.
the most in this process.
Oh really?
It's my first time. It's like, okay, is that an excuse?
Oh yeah, we did a whole.
I know
we did a whole episode.
But with the
this.
Fundraising, it was like everybody.
Really?
Yeah,
it's interesting.
It's my first time.
It's my first time.
Hey, Stelly, it's my first time. Mm-hmm. And then Stelly would smack me and say, "So what? Right?
So what? Who cares? Right?
Yeah, exactly. So right. It was a lot of that.
All right. So that's interesting. So people
yeah.
approach the fundraising process with Lee, or the ones that reached out. Do you think that people that have raised money already? They kind of,
yeah, so
they've gone, they're not naive anymore. They have some experience, good or bad, a lot of bad sometimes. And now when they go to do it again, they kind of know what they're doing or they know what to expect at least.
So I'm going to take a step back.
Yeah.
And then we'll take it right to where you are.
Let's do it.
And more. So we decided to do the interviews because one thing I've learned, and this is the hardest lesson probably in building a company, is even though I think I know, I might not know.
Yeah.
And it's the might not. Because you
yeah.
think you know and you're an expert, but
yeah.
then you're like, I might not know. And so I got used to that feeling over like the last couple of years. So I don't want to start anything without actually doing a ton of research. And so the idea was like, even though I'm an expert and I could go hypothesize about these and make assumptions around what the problems are, which we actually did, and then we could go start making a solution. What would happen is, what if we were wrong? Then we just wasted all this time on one person's opinion, which is mine. Right? Or even
yeah.
my partner's, two people's opinions, or a whole company's opinion, right? And so we wanted to go really learn more about it and validate what we were thinking, or invalidate a lot of our thinking. And we did both. We validated a bunch of things, a bunch of assumptions we had, and we invalidated a bunch of other ones. And so I think you need to have a beginner's mindset when you start something new. And this is just a way to have it, even if you think you're an expert. It's part of what I used to tell people and still do, which is like, even though you're an expert, it doesn't mean other people have the same problems as you do.
Yeah.
Because what you're looking for is a problem set across many different potential users, customers, people, not like your own problems, right? And so I just wanted to make sure that people understood this, because like it's every time I do interviews for something new, the new thing ends up being a hell of a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't, like, it's easy to forget.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So expertise, I think, is overrated. Especially when you're trying to start a business around something.
Let me highlight this.
Yeah.
Expertise is overrated.
Yeah.
Especially when you start a new business.
Yeah.
Right? Let's
sit on that.
Sit on that for a second. Let's print this out, put it on a t-shirt, hang it up, write it down, tweet it. I think that's the money.
So you
want to
start selling t-shirts?
Maybe.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe. That leads up to, if somebody thinks that the startup chat should have a t-shirt. Let us know if you'd be interested in buying one. So
there's your customer development right there.
Yeah.
Right?
There you go.
Okay. So I'll jump in now.
Yes.
So what we wanted to do was talk to a bunch of people, find problems on the interviews. So what we did is just to explain, since I am an expert, we actually leveraged that. And we said, I want to talk to people about their fundraising experience and also give advice, right? So when you're an expert, you can have that kind of pitch to people and get them to talk to you. Like that's the value of expertise. The value of expertise isn't your past knowledge. It's what you can do for someone on an interview to get them to get on the interview and also give them value, right?
Yeah.
So we also have one asset that we know will give everyone value. So that asset is basically a pitch deck formula, a milestone-based formula is what we call it, or framework. Don't have a good name for it yet, although it will soon enough. And it's one document, has one example deck from a friend of mine I helped raise money maybe about a year ago. And he did a great job. He turned his deck over in 3 days after a great conversation with me. And then he raised money within another 3 days before I could show it to anybody else. So it was really awesome. And so we have that asset, so we know we can add value. So the tweet was, Talk to us about fundraising and we'll also give you some advice. So then we did 20-minute calls for about 10 to 15 minutes. We asked people about their fundraising experience. We had a whole set of questions like, how's it going with your fundraising? where are you at? We asked about tools they use. We asked about incubators, if they were in one and their experience with the incubators. We asked about how they made their deck, where they got resources from, who did they believe, trust, and all this stuff. And we got really great answers. We probably even know why certain people really like certain brands out there that talk about fundraising, right? We also know one other thing. I'm just mixing learnings in here.
Yeah,
it's interesting.
Yeah.
A lot of people use Guy Kawasaki's 10-slide formula that's so fucking old. It's not even funny. Not even funny.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And it blows. It was blowing our minds every time we heard it. Because we're just like, I don't even know how they found it.
Yeah.
Right? Because like, it's pretty old
at
this point. Anyways, so we learned that. And so we basically did 10 to 15 minutes of helping them out with all those kind of questions. Then about another 5 or 10 minutes roughly on giving them advice that's specific to their startup. But what we had is we requested they send their deck and all that kind of stuff and background before we started. So the one, you know, so I actually have the findings. So I'm going to spit through some of them that are actually more interesting.
Sweet.
And then I'm sure we can discuss it.
Yeah.
So fundraising takes up a lot of time. That's number one. I know Stanley's looking at me like, you already know that, dude. Yeah, we know that. But the founder said that.
Yeah.
Right? Now, here's the part that always bugged me. I know it bugs you too. Founders want to be freed up to work on their business, product, or whatever else they normally do. So they want to be freed up even before they start the fundraising process because they feel like it's a daunting thing that's going to take up a lot of time.
Yeah.
So we've seen some things out there that pitch that you can get fundraising faster and stuff like that. This is the reason those things pitch that, because the pain point of it's going to take up a lot of my time is like stuck in everyone's head.
Yeah.
I call bullshit on that, but that's okay.
Yeah.
I can't change what they think, right?
Yeah.
Without a solution. Here's what's really interesting. No matter who the person was, whether they've raised money before, whether they're doing a Series B round, a C round, they have a lack of knowledge about doing it.
Mm.
And when you dug into why, they have this anxiety. I think part of the anxiety is, this is my business. If I don't raise this money, I'm screwed.
Yeah.
That's just what they have in their heads. And, you know, in a lot of cases, it's probably right.
Yeah.
I know you were asking about, I think, you know, all, you know, who are you talking to? Is there a bias? We talk to folks across the board. So we talk to folks that haven't raised any money yet. We talk to folks that already raised a seed round. We talk to folks that are in incubators. And we talk to folks that have raised B rounds and C rounds.
But all of them... But all of them, for the next step of fundraising, they felt, this is my first time. First time raising an A, first time raising a B.
Yeah, that's what they said.
Yeah, because when you first mentioned this, it made me assume that the target group was people that have never raised a dollar.
Mm-mm.
But these people were just thinking, this is my first time doing this next step
this
of
next
fundraising.
Hop, this
whatever
next
it
round.
Is. Yes, yes,
yeah.
Yes. All right, that makes sense.
So that's basically what it is. And through that lack of knowledge, they would go ask a lot of people. It's rare. People like to ask other people for advice. I mean, that's common. I don't think we've heard it this much and this consistently and this many people they ask advice from per individual.
On
right?
the fundraising side.
Yeah, the last 20 people. Here's my deck. What do you think? And guess what they're going to get? Lots and lots of conflicting advice.
Conflicting advice.
Here's where it gets awesome. When you ask them about the conflicting advice, they sit there and can tell you, oh, this person said this and they're wrong because of this. This person said that and they're right because of this, but they're wrong because of this. It's like they already knew when they got the advice what was right and wrong for them, but yet they were still asking for more and more advice perpetually.
Mm.
And then they would change their decks. Some people would change their decks off of every single piece of advice they got, and then they lost their deck. They lost their story. They lost everything in terms of how to tell it because they're optimizing for that person's feedback or they're optimizing for... I'm pitching investors in LA, so I got to frame it like this. I'm pitching investors in San Francisco, so now I got to frame it like this.
Let's sit on this for a second because I'm getting a good amount of the people that ask me for fundraising advice that I don't already know well.
Yeah.
They will send me their pitch deck and ask for pitch deck advice a lot of the times, or how to get into Y Combinator or an incubator.
Of course,
or something like
you're known for that.
And I'm always hesitant on what advice to give here because I can just – the easiest thing for me to do is just stream of consciousness every single slide. This sucks. This has changed. I'm curious about that. What stands out is you're trying to hide this. But I'm like, how helpful is this? Because I don't get, like, what is the, that's not how you would edit an article.
No.
Right? And this comes back to this. You get 10 different people to give you advice on an article, and they're all they're looking for is like grammar and like the editing. Style of writing.
Yeah.
At the end, you're going to have a piece of shit.
That's right?
Right. Because nobody looks at what is the core of the story.
Right.
What is the core voice we're trying to have here? What type of article are we trying to write? Because one person thinks it should be super short, and the other person thinks it should be a long form.
Yeah, and they don't like the way you started, or they don't like the way data. You did it.
But the problem is you need to know what is the story, what's the style you need to have. And then, yes, you can get advice and work with people, but you need to be careful in general on getting conflicting advice from lots and lots of people.
Yeah.
But this is is such a good point that people will get advice from very different people about their pitch deck, and all of them are completely oblivious to like what are we trying to say in the bigger context.
And when you ask for pitch deck feedback, you're not asking for business advice.
Oh yeah,
you're asking for advice on this
pitch deck,
essentially this deck. Yeah.
But many people would be like, I don't think this business model really works. On the like, you should do more. You should be a marketplace.
And then you tweak it because you want to be a marketplace. All of a sudden, it's like, wait, is that really what you want to do, or is that because you think you're going to get funding because you do that?
Yeah,
right. So it's such a good point. It's probably a big key point, which is. You know, and this is why we created one asset, and that asset is all about fixing the story of the pitch deck.
Yeah.
And we have a very specific way to do it, and it's much different than the formulaic, you need problem, team, solution, and all that kind of stuff, because that stuff doesn't work anymore. And you know, the funny thing is, like, when you're building a business, when you have customers, or trying to like target them and things like that, you're always thinking about your audience, or you should be. People don't think about their audience when they're making these pitch decks. They don't think that there are these investors. If you have a formulaic looking pitch, they're going to get bored. Yeah. They're going to ignore it. And that's at best.
Yeah.
At worst, they're going to sit there and try to bucket you into some bucket that they've seen before, and makes it easy for them to say no.
Yeah.
That's the problem, right?
Yeah.
So I think founders forget because they work day to day in their businesses. And they forget how to tell a story on a higher level about why they're doing it and what they're actually like, why they exist. Yeah. Why'd you even start this business? Right? Because an investor actually wants to know that, but they don't know how to ask you that.
Mm.
So if you talk to the best investors and they see your deck and they're into it, they want to get to know you. Now imagine if you let them get to know you and the story of this business in the deck instead of just having this formulaic, this is my business plan type deck.
Yeah.
Right, which is what we turned into in the market these days.
Yeah.
Right, and then now you're all of a sudden having a team slide. Well, why would you have a team slide if your team is building the whole thing? Your team has built this great business, and there's a storyline to how it happened. Right, so there's a bunch of stuff like that I think people forget that the audience is used to basically a formulaic pitch. And if you give them a formulaic pitch, it actually doesn't help them or you in getting the money you want.
There's a million things I want to say about
pitch
decks.
Go ahead.
But that's going to be another episode.
That's definitely going to be another episode. All right.
So let's is there any other learnings on the list? Let's look at it. So Heaton, so this is a podcast. I've been traveling for so long. This was the first time in a long while that we were actually able to hug each other. So I've been waiting for that.
Same.
So he's sitting across from me and he's like going through his research on his phone and looking through the learnings.
Well, it's because we interviewed 50 people and there's no way you can analyze that. Yeah, 1,000 minutes. That's right. 50 people, 1,000 minutes.
Yeah.
Two tweets.
There you go, two tweets. And what is the URL again for people that want to
It's bit.ly/funding-early-access.
Funding early access. If you're in the middle of raising money, if you need to raise money, if you're thinking about
Raise money anytime.
Yes. Go there and make sure to be on the list.
Okay, so this is a good one. There isn't a brilliant source of information for founders on fundraising. There used to be Angel Hacks.
Angel Hacks.
Which is pre-AngelList by those folks. But that site hasn't been updated and they're busy with the platform, not the content.
They're not interested in that. Anymore. Yeah.
And that content used to be amazing.
Yeah.
Like when I was raising and I'm sure you were, like, it was like a go-to, but a lot of it's dated now and it hasn't been updated, but it's still some definitive stuff in there.
Yeah.
Right. So it's great. And they also went into a lot of areas outside of fundraising, like cap tables and all these things.
Yeah.
And also, like, what we learned is that those technicalities of financials and cap tables and that are actually not as important as more fundamental things around fundraising.
Yeah.
Right. If you go out there and look, there's a lot of things around the technicalities of it. When people have fundamental issues with what investors should I go after? How should I pitch them? Who's right for me? How do I know that I'm making progress with investors?
Oh, yeah.
They never said that, but underneath it, that's what they're trying to figure out day, right? They're like, how come they haven't answered back? Yeah. Or, oh, that was a great meeting. You know how many times I've heard from it outside of these interviews, I've heard from people that say, oh, it was a great meeting. I know you've heard this. And I'm like, wait, hold on. What happened in the meeting? And my conclusion is it was a shitty meeting. And they're like, no, it was a great meeting. I'm like, no, wait, hold on. And then I break it down. It's like soul crushing for them, right? So that's been fun.
Here's another one. I don't know if it's on the list, but it's the founder, I find, and I made a presentation of this. I'll send it your way one day on like the seven deadly fundraising sins founders make. And one of it is when you get to a partner meeting, the expectations founders have when they get to a partner meeting for the first time at a VC firm and the prep they get and what actually transpires in a founder meeting and what the context is that the partners sit down at is worlds apart. Like most founders at the first partner meeting, they're like, this is it, the last formality. They love it. This partner has been working with us for weeks. They're pumped. And they walk in and they feel like the partners are informed and excited to see them. And they walk into this and the partners sit there and they don't know who the fuck you are. And one of them is currently buying a house and is on his phone the entire presentation. And the other one is busy with something else. And it's like nothing you expect. There was no friendly crowd there, no informed crowd, no nothing. There's like
that expectation of knowledge about something is one of the worst things. Yeah. And then in a partner meeting, it's like, oh, yeah, they already know. It's like, yeah, you have a champion that's been excited with you.
Yeah.
But they have a partnership to get on board.
Yeah.
Right? Oftentimes.
Yeah. Anyways, I don't want to go over, but this is a good one.
In a lot of the interviews, we didn't even get that far because it wasn't even about like the problems around the communications with investors, because that's kind of what that is. Yeah. It was much more around like the anxieties around it that kept coming up. So there was other ones like everyone wanted advice really badly. Like they just wanted to know what to do. And it wasn't even advice like pitch deck advice. It was just like, what should I do? And we got them in a setting where they were really open to it. Because we're not trying to invest in their companies. We're not trying to do anything except learn about this.
Yeah.
So we got a lot more openness around that. And it just boiled down to wanting advice really badly was the statement we kind of concluded on that.
Doubt and insecurity. Yeah. I wrote an article once in like investors turning founders into little insecure teenagers.
Oh, yeah. I got to find your articles, man. Yeah, that's great content.
But that's such a big thing. It's like founders are these like risk takers. They don't listen to their parents and don't listen to their boss when they go on to start their thing. But investors are this group of people that founders are so intimidated by.
That's right.
And care so much about validation from. Then they're like, they're walking into this relationship with an energy of like, do you think I'm pretty? Do you think this is good?
Right.
You want me to be blonde? We're going to be blonde.
Yeah, I can change my hair color.
I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
And then they run off to their friends. Does he like me? Does he not
like
me?
That's right.
And there's such a level of insecurity and like, and need to please, need to, and it's because there's it's money and power, right? So raising millions of dollars for people that haven't done this, it comes with a false and naive sense of like, this means something significant. It means I'm worthy. It means our company is succeeding. It means we've accomplished something. And there's this group of powerful people that hold this, that can give you this sense of accomplishment, that can allow you to be really successful, to be the next Google or Facebook. And it's not like that
at all. You're doing the work. It's your business.
Yeah. And
we're almost done for now.
Let's finish it up.
I wanted to tell you the statement we used for that one.
Okay.
And then we'll go into tips real quick.
Yeah.
Right. The statement we used is there is a decision-making issue. People spin their wheels and waste time because they aren't sure what to do next.
Mm-hmm.
And that's across any kind of round, any kind of thing. And it relates to what you're saying. It's like, I don't know what to do. Do they like me? Do they not? Like, it's the same thing. And a lot of it's that. And basically, a lot of it has to do with like, when should I raise money? Am I making progress on this process or not? And all those kind of things. So the level of uncertainty, I think, is part of the problem. It's worse than a sales process.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people will say, oh, it's like a sales process. We saw a lot of people try to hit up like 100 investors. There's also a lot of things out there, like Jeff Bezos had to pitch 60 investors for his first $1 million of funding. Great fodder for the stuff we're doing, but like, it doesn't necessarily have to be like that. And just because Jeff Bezos back in the day had to do that, and now it's Amazon, doesn't mean you're related at all.
Yeah.
Right? Or it doesn't mean it's easy or hard. It just means that like, it's a process.
There's so much context also around it. Who were these people? How did